From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Later on tonight, it's all paranormal. Happy birthday, by the way, to Coast listener Gail, singer John Fogerty's mother-in-law. Happy birthday, Gail. Many, many more. Here's what's happening. Roughly 5,200 U.S. troops will be deploying to the southern border in response to the migrant caravan pushing north through Mexico. Some 7,500 people on their way here. Some of the troops will be deploying as early as Tuesday morning. The reinforcements headed to the U.S.-Mexico border are support troops, not combat troops, and will include engineers as well as aviation and medical personnel. A U.S. official initially put the estimate at 5,000 troops before the official number was raised to 5,200 troops. The U.S. Air Force plans to airlift, in addition, 400 Border Patrol personnel as well. I don't know how they're going to handle 7,500 people. What are they going to do when these people keep pushing to come across the border? A brand new jet airliner carrying 189 passengers and crew crashed into the sea shortly after takeoff from Indonesia's capital of Jakarta, prompting a major effort in the region that soon turned from rescue to recovery when officials disclosed that there were likely no survivors. The Lion Air Boeing 737 MAX A aircraft had just taken off from Jakarta when the pilot requested to return to the airport just 3 minutes into the flight. Something very horrible happened on that. They believe all 189 people are dead. A North Carolina high school student was shot and killed after a fellow classmate opened fire Monday in a crowded hallway. At the start of the school day, the officers responded to the shooting. Officers took the suspected shooter, right now identified as a student at the high school, into custody, recovered the weapon used in that incident. Jeez. Another tragedy over the weekend. The gunman who opened fire on a Pittsburgh synagogue on Saturday morning, killing at least 11 people and injuring several others, has been named as a 46-year-old man. His name is Robert Bowers. He is definitely an anti-Semite who regularly complained on social media about the president and what he said, the infestation of Jews. Howard Bloom with us. He's an expert on the human mind. Howard, what the heck's wrong with people?
Well, there's a big connection here between the caravan of 7,500 you just mentioned marching up here from Honduras, the 14 letter bombs sent to Democrats last week, the killing of 11 people on Saturday at a Jewish place of worship in Pittsburgh, and Russian disinformation. They have something in common: the hate-filled rhetoric of a new bully boy underground, a violent right-wing underground that has roughly 14 member groups and communicates using internet services like 4chan. These groups rage and roil with anti-Semitism and with violence. A former leader of one of the 14 groups in this underground said the following on the neo-Nazi Daily Stormer website, brace yourself. That was Eli Mosley on March 20th, 2017. Mosley called himself the Judenjäger, or the Jew Hunter, a neo-Nazi term. He went on to briefly lead one of the 14 gangs in this violent political underground. It's called Identity Europa. Here's another bit of Mosley's rhetoric, courtesy of the...
Well, let's stop on his rhetoric, Howard, because it's too inflammatory. I don't even want to put it on the air.
It's less inflammatory. So the next one is, and this is very important, on March 14th, he attended a Philadelphia pro-Trump rally, and he bragged that we have moved into a new era in the Nazification of America. Normie Trump supporters are becoming racially aware and Jew-wise. The crucial line here is we've moved into a new era in the Nazification of America, as in Adolf Hitler's Nazis, and key to that new era is Nazifying everyday Donald Trump supporters, the people that Mosley calls normie Trump supporters, making them, quote, racially aware and Jew-wise. But there's more to this bully boy underground. It is a view of the world in which, as one mainstream Trump fan puts it, the evil George Soros seeks to overthrow our government and way of life by force. Yes, by force. Soros is Jewish, and he's nonviolent and pro-democracy. But Robert Burroughs, the Pittsburgh synagogue shooter, felt the Soros crisis was a call to action. He saw himself as saving America. The synagogue he attacked was having a prayer day dedicated to the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society, an organization that helps settle refugees in America. Bauer's last statement on the website Gab was this: the Jews, quote, like to bring invaders that kill our people. I can't sit by and watch my people get slaughtered. Screw your optics. I'm going in. Now, in Bauer's view, he was performing a noble deed. The USA, in his mind, was in danger of a massacre of good, pure-blooded Americans. As Trump says of the immigrants coming across the Mexican border, they are killers and rapists. So the problem is not just Bauer's. It's the fantasy that our nation and race is in danger of being eradicated by a flood of foreigners, caravan members, and most of all, Jews. Caesar Sayoc, the man who sent 14 letter bombs last week, was motivated by the same idea. He was triggered by a phony picture of a caravan of caravan immigrants jumping onto a truck with a Jewish Star of David.
And how many more of these people, Howard, are out there?
There could be many because, George, this rhetoric, this idea that there is a plot against America led by George Soros to destroy us all, to destroy our values, is being spread even by Donald Trump, I hate to say that, and by Donald Trump Jr., who was cheering on the rhetoric in this couple of days before this Pittsburgh shooting took place.
That's horrible stuff, Howard Bloom. And by the way, those were not the words of Howard Bloom. He was quoting the quack Robert Bowers. Trust in America is on the decline, and it may be preventing many people from living longer lives. A new study finds that people who are more trusting of others tend to have longer lifespans than those mired in suspicion. Just remember that. The grieving family of a 20-year-old woman who choked to death during a pancake-eating contest has filed a lawsuit against the Connecticut University she was attending in hopes of raising awareness of the preventable dangers associated with amateur eating competitions. An Alabama woman's zombie Halloween costume turns into a medical nightmare. She had a $3 pair of fake teeth get stuck. She overglued it and couldn't take them out. She was rushed to a dentist. What else is happening these days? Let's check in with Dr. Sky Stephen Cates. Hey, Stephen.
Hello there, George. Hey, as October ends and Halloween naturally just around the corner, always good reasons to look at the sky. George, for the longest time in 2018, Venus has been the brightest planet. So many of our coast listeners email me about that. Now it's moved into something we call inferior conjunction. It moves into the glare of the sun. And what it simply does is, by the end of, let's say, November, skywatchers should see it as the beautiful morning star, as it's sometimes referred to, even though it's a planet, a most impressive object. But here's a great Halloween story, and it has to do with asteroids. How about this? Asteroid 2015, TB145, or the Great Pumpkin Asteroid, it passed us just about three years ago, some 300,000 miles away from the Earth. And what's interesting, George, about this, the object's about 2,000 feet in diameter, and on radar, big, heavy space telescope radars show that it has a skull-looking face to it. Very unusual. Great for Halloween. But it's as dark as coal. It may be an extinct cometary nucleus. This particular object will pass us once again in mid-November by a much farther and safer distance. It's known as an Apollo asteroid. We've saved the best for last, George, the live sky. For those going out, the moon is near its last quarter phase, rising around midnight, quite spectacular. The moon is at its position called perigee. That's on Halloween night, closest to the Earth. And how about this? It's a great time to take advantage of those pre-midnight dark skies, and I've got a real treat for the listeners. High in the northeast sky at 10 p.m., look for the amazing little cluster of stars. Some people think it's the Little Dipper. It's simply known as the Pleiades, the size of a full moon in the sky. Everybody's probably seen it. It's a cluster, George, of some six or seven stars, some 450 light years away, named after the many of the daughters, that is, of Great Atlas. And a more relevant story that makes sense to most people, I don't know if people knew this, but the logo for the Subaru car company is actually the Pleiades. And finally, George, we're off with our photojournalist team to the fifth largest observatory in the continental United States to shoot a documentary. It's the beautiful Discovery Channel Telescope, and we'll share that with the listeners as we conclude that and let them see what goes on with a giant 14-foot in diameter mirror as it peers through the universe. Always remember to keep your eyes to the skies and email me simply at drsky@cox.net.
Thank you, Dr. Sky. Up next, trends. What is Amazon doing? They're so big that Sears is closing, Toys R Us closed, all kinds of problems. And when I say Sears is closing, they're closing down many stores. In a moment, Ken Grunbeck back with us as we talk about upside, profiting from the profound demographic shifts ahead, next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Ken Grunbeck back with us, president of the KGC Direct. He is an internationally respected demographer. He's been able to forecast all kinds of things that have been happening commercially, economically, culturally, politically, with an uncanny ability. Ken's unusual blend of marketing savvy and common sense demography based on more than 20 years of proprietary demographic study sets him way apart. Ken keynotes all over the United States, does customized demographic research. He was last on with me almost a year ago in a great program. Ken is back with us as we talk about upside, profiting from the profound demographic shifts ahead. And Ken, there are many shifts, aren't there?
Oh, tons. It's overwhelming.
It just doesn't stop. How have you been?
Very well, sir. How are you?
I'm good. Everything's good. And, but if we can take heed to some of the things you've told us a year ago and things you're going to tell us tonight, we might be able to get through some of this.
Yeah, we'll get through it.
I hope so.
I have every confidence.
What do you think of Amazon crushing bricks and mortar stores?
Yeah, you know, you say crushing because Amazon, online retail is about 10% of total retail. It's not crushing anything. Sears was kind of an anachronism anyway. You know, the retailers that are having problems right now are having problems because they're having, their model is not correct, not because of Amazon.
Do you think they should have adjusted, that they could have prevented some of the things that have happened to them, like Toys R Us and all the other places?
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure. Toys R Us makes me crazy. I saw this, but if you follow Toys R Us in the Wall Street Journal, it's essentially gone now. And now Mattel has hired their fourth CEO in 4 years. Fourth CEO in 4 years. Why? Because the CEOs that they hire can't come up with the magic sauce to reverse the sales decline of Hot Wheels and Barbie dolls. You know what the real problem is? What they say in the article, I read this Wall Street Journal article just a few months ago. It said that kids now are so enthralled with their phones, the iPhones, that they're no longer, they no longer have any consideration for Hot Wheels or Barbie dolls. The real problem is there are fewer kids, about 25% fewer kids under 10 now than there were 10 years ago. Do you think maybe that has something to do with their sales decline?
Yeah, it could be.
It makes me crazy. And, seriously, George, if you have a 25% decrease in the size of your market, I don't care if you're General Motors or Amazon, your sales are going to decline. They weren't born. They don't exist.
No, they don't. But how do you look into a crystal ball, Ken, and make these predictions if you're running a business?
What you do is what's the most important question for any business? Any business. I had an opportunity to speak to the chief marketing officers in the hospitality industry about 2 years ago. And everyone was there. Sheraton was there. Hilton was there. Google was there. American Express was there. These were all people that have to do with the hospitality industry. And I asked them, I said, what's the most important question you need to ask yourself right now? And come on, marketing folks, $1 million salaries in this room. There was about 12 people in the room and sitting around a round table. And their answer was, Google said it's the understanding social media and how to advertise, how to market on social media, and American Express said we have to get into the heads, we have to understand this new generation, how they think, how they buy, and Hilton says it's about new products, it's about making your room smaller and your lobbies bigger. You know what the answer is? The answer is how big is your market and it's getting bigger or smaller.
That's right. It's all about demographics,
sure.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it's because if your market is getting smaller, I don't care how good you are. Levi Strauss called me up and asked me what was going on with their market. But, for about 20 years, they couldn't make their products fast enough. They literally couldn't meet the demand. And all of a sudden, sales started trailing off. This was 1998. And I said, so your sales are going flat. And he said, yeah, do we have a demographic issue? This is the chief marketing officer in San Francisco of Levi's. And I said, who's your customer? And he said, an 18 to 34-year-old man or woman, 18 to 34. And I said, what happens at 34 years old that they can't buy your product? And he said, well, they don't fit in the product anymore. I said, you realize you're a boomer business? And he said, yes. I said, the last baby boomer was born 1964. I said, add 34 years to 1964. What do you come up with? And he said, there was a pause. And he said, 1998. And I said, what year is it? And he said, 1998. And he said, what does that mean? I said, what that means is, you know, your last guest just checked out of your hotel. And their sales went from $8 billion, get this, George, $8 billion to $2 billion in about 3 years.
Wow.
Because they're not paying attention to demographics. You know, if you want to count money, count money. Go ahead. Knock yourself out. But if you want to understand where money came from, it came from people. Count people and you will understand.
Well, isn't it simple too, Ken, to talk to that demographic you need to go after eventually and find out some of the things they enjoy and look at those trends and you find out that, you know, if there are kids 18 to 24 years old, younger people, find out from them. What do they do? What do they like? Where do they go? Do they go to movies? Do they not? And then adjust yourself to that.
George, you're too smart. Sorry. But you, doesn't that sound like logic?
Yeah.
Common sense is not so common. Voltaire said that. You know, I do, I'll speak to an audience of 500 people, and I'll say, everybody stand up. And then I'll say, everybody born before 1965, sit down. And I say, that's the boomers. Everybody, you see that? The boomers all sat down. And I'll say, okay, if you were born before 1985, sit down. And another large group sits down. And I say, that's Gen X. And then there are about three people standing. And I said, that's Gen Y. The Gen Y, or the millennials, are born 1985 to 2004. There's 87 million of them. I said, you want to know about the new market? You have to hire these people, and you don't have a clue because they're not here. And it makes me crazy.
Yeah, well, it's you got to adjust because if you don't, yeah. you're not going to succeed.
Yeah.
What's happening to like companies like McDonald's? Are they on top of things? They used to be marketing geniuses. Something's slipping.
I know. You know, I want to tell people. So McDonald's same store sales are off. You know, they're all of their increases are coming from their overseas operation.
Mm-hmm.
I tell folks, I said, listen, Generation Y is now 14 to 33 years old. It's 87 million people are just now starting to have children. I said, and they realize what their parents were feeding them for the last 20 years. I said, you want the three N's of food? It's called nutrition, nutrition, nutrition. And what is McDonald's famous for? It's not nutrition.
No.
It's for French fries.
Regardless of what they try to say, people have the impression that it's not nutritional food.
It's exactly correct. And so that's their problem. If you want to sell food now, if you want to sell food in the supermarket, and if you want to sell food in a restaurant, you need to sell good food. You can't sell stuff that's going to stop people's hearts.
What's going on with population trends? Are they shifting down too?
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny you say that. We have a new generation. It's called Generation Z. And Generation Z started in 2005. And they will end around 2024. So they're not fully born yet. But in 2007, we had a record year in the United States. We had 4,316,000 babies were born. And that was more than 1957, which was the previous record, 51 years earlier. What's happened since 2007 is the population has dropped like a stone. We've gone from producing over 4 million babies a year down to just a little over 3 million babies a year. And so this Generation Z will be smaller. Yeah.
That's a big trend. Ken, stay with us. We'll talk more about trends when we come back. We'll take calls with you next hour here on Coast to Coast AM. Hey, the tickets are selling like crazy. Saturday, March 23rd, Everett, Washington, at the historic Everett Theater, our live stage show. We're going to have many we'll announce for the rest of the year all over the country. But this one, number one, is in Everett, Washington, very close to Seattle. So come on out, wherever you may be. Special guests, all kinds of great things, a meet and greet, live band. How do you get your tickets? Very simple. Go to our website, coasttocoastam.com, click events. It'll open that whole section up, or in the carousel reel that you see with the revolving highlights of pictures, there's a picture of the trailer there of the Everett Theater. You click that, it'll take you straight to their website, and you can get your tickets that way. And welcome back. Ken Grunbeck with us as we talk about trends, the incredible trends that I guess, Ken, not just businesses should be using things like this. I would guess anybody who's doing something, marketing, you name it, should be aware of these things, shouldn't they?
Yeah, absolutely. It's mysterious to me why everyone doesn't think about this, because it precipitates almost everything that we have in a market economy.
How much has the smartphone changed these things?
Well, it has to a large degree. What I tell people when they ask me a question like that, I say, people are still people. When you have a large number of people that consume a specific product and a small number of people that consume a specific product, the large number of people will consume more. Now, I know that sounds rudimentary, but the smartphone has only aided folks in their ability to consume. So it's a good thing from that standpoint. But you have to keep in mind that the thing that drives commerce, or the thing that drives consumption, is the number of people in the market, period.
That's simple, isn't it?
Well, I mean, it almost sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? I mean, who is out there saying, well, okay, so large groups of people consume a lot of stuff, and small groups of people consume smaller amounts of stuff. But if I read the Wall Street Journal every day, and I read the marketing section, and I know that the Wall Street Journal, just based on what I read, doesn't understand that. Because let me give you an example. SUVs. SUVs were bought by baby boomers 20 years ago in vast quantities, and then the automobile companies had to figure out how to sell the same number of SUVs to Generation X as they did to the baby boomers, and they couldn't do it. So they kept on firing their marketing departments, and it kept on firing their chief marketing officers, because they couldn't come up with the secret to selling as many SUVs to this other group. But nobody bothered to count them, and this other group of Generation X, born 1965 to 1984, is small.
Good point. My 24-year-old granddaughter, Ken, was talking to me a couple days ago, and she said, Papa, kids our age, and she calls herself a kid, but she's a young woman now, we're not getting married like you folks used to. And that's another trend, Ken, isn't it?
Yeah, it's funny, because I'm trying to figure that one out. Because, half of the kids that are born today, the babies that are born, and that's all about, demographics, are born outside of wedlock. They're born outside of a marriage. The marriages seem to come after the kids are born, as opposed to before. And there are certain cultures, like the African-American culture, where 75% of the kids are born outside of the marriage. It's a different time, George.
Now, if you could understand it, though, whether it's, we're talking a lot about business, but if you can understand that, how much can you affect change?
Well, that's another good question. I'm not so sure that you can. I think, you mean in terms of changing what the culture is doing? I think the culture is going to do what the culture is going to do. And right now, we have the largest generation in the history of our nation is currently 14 to 33 years old, 87 million Generation Y millennials. And I think they're going to do what they're going to do. Just like you go back 40 years, And you look at the, you know, what happened in the 60s and early 70s with the hippie culture. They did what they did. They just simply did what they did. But then what happened? They grew up. You know, I ask folks in my audience, what happened to sex, drugs, and rock and roll? What happened to the boomer hippies? Well, they became Republicans.
In all cases?
No, not in all cases. But you know, if you look at this is. Let me back up a second because this is something that people need to understand. Between the ages right now of 34 and 53, we have a diminutive population of indigenous people that were born here. There were only about 69 million people born between 65 and 84, as opposed to the boomers that were roughly 80 million born between 45 and 64. What does that mean? That means that particular population could not support the labor needs that we had in our country, and it sucked in immigrants like a vacuum. That particular generation right now is the generation that is making people think that we're a nation of haves and have-nots, when what we are is a nation that has a small indigenous population superimposed over where the heavy lifters should be, our strength should be in our population. It's actually smaller. So the net result is, instead of having, a nation of haves and have-nots with a cushion in between of Generation X, we don't, because they were never born.
We're losing that cushion.
Yeah, well, we did. And so you have people saying that the United States is broken because we have haves and have-nots. But middle age and middle income are occupy exactly the same space. So if your middle age is small, then your middle income is small as well. But it's a demographic issue. It was just simply a question of how many babies were born for that particular period.
Ken, let me ask you this too. I mean, let's use Facebook as an example. You know, they've got billions of people online. They've got huge amounts of advertising dollars because of what they do socially. But I think they're starting to lose that. I think there's becoming a change there where I think advertisers are beginning to say, I'm not sure we're getting the bang for our dollar here, or if we're converting these into sales, because the market may not be what we really want. What's happening with that?
Well, Facebook is kind of a strange entity, if you will. And I tell folks, listen, if you're not paying for it, you are not the customer, you're the product. As far as I'm concerned, and I've got 21 years experience in the marketing industry, the internet advertising is a bottomless pit. You have no idea what you're buying, none. And there's no way to reference any kind of success except return on investment. So you spend money on the internet and you just cross your fingers and hope that your sales go up. If your sales go up, you don't know if it's relative to how much money you spend on the internet. But what's happening with Zuckerberg's enterprise there is not good. It really isn't.
I mean, it's huge, but there's a trend here, and to me the trend is very negative for them.
Yeah, it is. Well, what's negative about it is I think he's totally disingenuous. I don't trust Facebook at all. I really don't. I don't think, I think you have to understand, George, that everything that anybody writes on Facebook can be analyzed. And then and that analysis puts people into categories, and those categories are saleable. And what Zuckerberg does with that information is sell it to anybody who will pay for it. So there's no security in anything that you put on Facebook, nothing.
And what about, you know, some of these whack jobs, you know, the idiot that killed 11 people in the Jewish synagogue, the guy who sent out these bombs, these pipe bombs? They use social media to kind of spout their hatred. How come we can't catch them a little sooner?
You tell me. I really don't know. That Robert Bowers and Cesar Sayoc, man, they are truly whack jobs. And I don't know. That's more more understanding of a psychographics than a demographics, as far as I'm concerned.
Ken, what's happening in the housing market? Most younger people aren't buying houses; they're renting. What's going to happen?
Well, they're renting because they have $1 trillion in student loan debt.
Yeah.
Yeah, but don't worry about it. Now, what we're literally facing with kids is you have 87 million kids that are between 14 and 33 years old. The kids are finally moving out of their parents' basements. They're throwing away all those trophies they don't deserve, and they're starting households and getting married. Now, starting a household is, you know, it could be an apartment, it could be a condo, it could be anything. But we're 25 million housing units short of our needs over the course of that generation. So housing, people ask me all the time, they say, well, it doesn't seem like housing is all that strong. I said, well, unless these kids are going to sleep on the ground in tents, housing is going to be fine. You know, I spoke to a logging association in Oregon about 2 months ago, and they can't cut trees fast enough. The biggest problem with housing right now is getting the people skilled enough to build them.
I hope they're replacing those trees, though. Or are they?
I don't know.
I hope so.
Yeah, I'm sure they're done in a very careful manner, very ecological manner.
I mean, that would create another problem all by itself. How about the population in terms of men and women, 50-50, what they're buying? Is that a market change?
Yeah, you know what's interesting about the market is women right now, and I don't know why no one's paying attention to this, but women are about 65% of the people in college. It's 65-35 men, women. And in law school, it's 70-30. I mean, think about
it. Really? Is it that high? Oh, now, that's a flip. That's a flip from 20 years ago, right?
Oh, yeah. I said, listen, you want to hassle the women, they'll sue you. Don't do it. But what you have to take into consideration is that women are going to run things. There's absolutely no question about that, because they are going to be the most educated. I mean, the glass ceiling has been shattered for a long time, and we're starting to see many, many more women come into CEO positions.
And they're good ones.
Excellent ones. Absolutely excellent ones. So we're seeing a major, major change in our culture. 20 years from now, you won't recognize commerce. You just won't, because it's going to be run by women.
What's happening with the new Generation Z? What is that?
Generation Z was born, being born right now. It's actually 2005 to 2024. So we're not fully there. But Gen Z is not going to be entirely different than Gen Y. They're going to be the same cyber-reliant generation. They won't be as big, because the number of parents that they have is much smaller in Generation X. Generation X essentially is the parents of Gen Z. What we're watching is a new crop of kids. And I tell folks, and I say, listen, people say, well, they complain about the new kids. They complain about Generation Y. They complain about the millennials. They complain about Z, saying, you know, the kids don't want to work. They're entitled. You know, there's all kinds of things that I'm hearing about them. And I said, listen, let them grow up. As soon as they have to feed themselves, they're going to be fine. They're going to be just like the hippies that everybody hated. As soon as they had to feed themselves and face reality, and my joke is they became Republicans. So
you're going to get blasted for that, Ken.
I don't care. Listen, it is what it is. Listen, here's how it works. 0 to 100 years old, when you're a baby, you want what you want when you want it. You want it now. You don't. You want it for free. You're a liberal. And then once you're about 10 years old and you have some possessions that the other kids don't deserve, suddenly you become a conservative. So what you have is you have conservatives at one end of the population, and you have liberals at the other end of the population. We're gaining a liberal every 8 seconds because they're coming of age to vote, and we're losing a conservative every 16 seconds because they're dying. So all in all, we're going to be a nation of liberals.
Why can't people just care about people, whether you're a liberal or a conservative? Who cares? Why can't they just do the right thing?
Yeah, what you tell me. That makes me crazy. You know, this whole division that we have going on now in our country.
It's horrible.
Yeah, it troubles me. It really does.
We
it's not what we're supposed to do. I mean, when you have listen, I'm a Republican, but when you have a president that takes on a porn star in public, and they have a fight on Twitter, give me a break.
That's the problem.
Yeah,
that's part of the new technology again. Did anybody ever anticipate that? Did you think Jack Dorsey, when he founded Twitter, thought that it would be used for tools like that? I don't think so.
No. No. When you think of the mind of people in like the 1800s, there's more information in a single Wall Street Journal than somebody would ever think about, an individual would think about in the 1800s. So I don't know.
Well, you talk about trends and change. This is what we're losing, Ken. We're losing the ability to debate, question, discuss without people screaming at each other. I mean, those days are gone. I mean, I heard a couple people in a restaurant tonight. Instead of just talking about something, they're screaming at each other because they didn't agree with each other. And I've never seen that this bad. Have you?
No. No, I haven't. And it's called diplomacy. And I wonder where it's went, where it's gone. I just simply don't know. You know, people, I can't tell you the number of people, George, that say to me, you know, why don't we run our government like a business? And so we won't have these huge deficits and we won't make all these mistakes. If you think about it, I'd rather have a government that runs like a government, a diplomatic government, a republic that's based on a constitution, not one that's based on business principles.
We used to have that.
Yeah, we used to have that, but now we have a government that's essentially run on business principles, and it seems like there's no, we've removed the rules, we've taken away the diplomacy that was necessary to be a diplomat.
What's going on with China?
China's in a freaky position. China right now.
They relaxed their child law too, right? How many people, how many children a family can have?
Yeah, they can have really as many as they want now, which is the absolute positive dead last thing they should have done. George, I don't know why. I really don't. And listen, I am not that smart. I'm really not. And if you ask my wife or my kids, they'll tell you. But here you have a situation where China...
Hold on for a second. We're already at the top of the hour, Ken. We'll come back and talk about China, plus we'll open up the phone lines as we talk about demographics and trends. We're talking paranormal later on tonight.